Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
That's a good weekend vibe song when it's a little bit dark, a little bit rainy, kind of song.
Yeah,
a little bit blah. So I will start this hour the same way I started last hour. Who is this?
This is a guy named Chris Bear.
Okay, you can let it play for a few more seconds.
Yeah, and the song is called Aloha. It's only like a minute song.
Okay,
it's kind of a nice little like kind of interlude that I kind of like to.
Kind of like a dreamscape.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like it. So it kind of fit the old, you know, kind of gloomy,
yeah,
gloomy mood out there.
I just walked out on the deck here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, and I think the rain has let up. It's kind of spitting a little bit, I guess what you'd call it. So this is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. If you want to follow on Twitter, please do. You can follow me at Brad K. Porter, just like it sounds, at Brad K. Porter. You can follow Chris at Chris underscore Bohlig. There's a lot of...
Don't forget about the underscore.
Yeah, the underscore. There's a lot of Bohligs in town. Are you related to the sports Bohligs, Jeff Bohlig?
Yes, we're distantly like third cousins.
Okay, Jeff's got some super good dude.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I actually went... Me and his son were in the went to Aquinas together.
Okay,
in the same grade. We played football and basketball together. So yes, we definitely have some deep ties. Actually, the first time I met them was in fourth grade baseball.
Okay,
we were playing their team, and I actually struck out his son. So,
ooh,
not to brag or anything.
Now, Jeff, I always see Jeff at the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, he's always doing stuff with KU. You know, you'll see him at the scores table.
Yep.
And doing stuff with
you were, and doing stuff for the Big 12.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'll see him next week down at
Sprint
Center.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because I'll be, I don't have the final schedule. I know Chad Boger, who I hope this is a compliment, but he's Lord of all creatures, big and small here at Union Broadcasting and Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's in here on a Saturday, putting the schedule together for next week for the Big 12 tournament because we're going to have a ton of programming, plus all of the KU games and pregame shows, and we're going to have a Selection Sunday special next week, which will be fun. I was part of that last year.
That'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
When you do a Selection Sunday special, it's fast and furious because it's like the bracket's here. You don't have much time to glance at it, and then you have to react to it in real time. And I'm always a big fan of ad lib. I was in television for 20 years, and even with the teleprompters, I would go off script a lot, which would drive the producer and the director and the teleprompt operator crazy because I would just add things or delete things on the fly and then they wouldn't. It was like,
yikes.
Okay, where's he going now?
Yikes.
Because that's what I do. I love to ad lib. I started out my career in talk radio. So that Selection Sunday special, that's when you better be on your toes for that because you have to look at it, react to it, and then you're frantically searching for tidbits and nuggets on the teams that you don't know much about. It's a lot from small conferences and things like that. So that's always a fun show. Later in this hour, Matt Galloway from CJOnline.com will join us. We'll talk KU basketball. We'll talk Big 12, get you set up for today's games, which will decide the Big 12 championship, either outright or shared between K-State and Texas Tech. See, I threw KU in there because I'm so used to it. After 14 straight. So we'll talk about that. Right now, we're going to react a little bit to what our guest in the last hour had to say, Matt Verderam from fansided.com, who's always fantastic. First, let's kind of react to that latest bit of information that came out from Ian Rapoport at Rapsheet. Said a couple of teams are interested in Dee Ford of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's got the franchise tag.
Please take him.
Which is about $14, $15 million.
Yeah, so please.
The two teams interested according to Ian Rappaport, are the 49ers and the Packers. And the Packers, I got to flip my notepad over here. According to Ryan Wood, who is the Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette, he talked to a source who said, yeah, we'd love to have Dee Ford in Green Bay. They know it won't be cheap. But remember, they lost out on Khalil Mack last year. They tried when Khalil Mack became available. It came down to the Bears and Packers. The Bears came up with a better offer. Packers missed out, so still looking for that edge rusher. And I think when I think we discussed this a lot, you know, at the end of the season, the first thing with Dee Ford is whether or not you were going to franchise him or try to negotiate a longer contract, a 3-year, 4-year deal, or if you franchise tag and trade him. I think general consensus was franchise tag and trade, which I totally am on board with. Steve Spagnuolo's come in here. He's had now a few weeks to break down tape of all of the Chiefs players from last season. Maybe he went back further than that. He knows what he wants. He knows the system that he wants with the 4-3. He knows the players who will fit best. He also knows that holding on to an edge rusher at a cost of $14-plus million, considering what's available in the draft, which edge rushers, pass rushers, are plentiful, that it's probably going to be a better choice for Brett Veach to make to trade Dee Ford. Now, what can you get back for Dee Ford? There's talk all over Twitter this morning. Do you think we could get a first-round pick? Teams don't like to part with the first-round picks.
I'd be happy with a third-rounder.
Third-rounder. Well, yep. Here's our good friend Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News, frequent guest of the show, who does a great job. He and Todd Palmer with the 4th and 1 broadcast for 41 Action News. Nick Jacobs posted up the draft picks for the Packers and 49ers coming up. So the Packers will have the 12th overall pick in the first round. They're not giving that up. They'll have the 30th overall pick towards the end of the first round. Maybe getting closer there. You get into the second round, the Packers would have the 44th overall pick. In the third round, the 76th overall pick. And then two picks in the fourth round, 108th overall and 112th overall. And then you get down to 5, 6, and 7. The 49ers, the way they line up, if they want to package a trade for Dee Ford, the 49ers have the second overall pick in the draft, the first round. Not going to give that up. The 49ers in the second round have the 36th overall pick. In the third round, the 67th overall pick. And the fourth round, the 104th overall pick. And then a couple of picks in the sixth round. So you could maybe see a package of... I don't know if a team would part with two picks. Maybe a sixth and a fourth? I don't know. But I'm totally on board with that. And then work with what you got in the draft, and then you consider cutting Justin Houston at the time that makes sense, and then Eric Berry probably after the June date. So I'm good with that. Let's go to the phones here. If you want to call in, by the way, go ahead. If you're staying inside, if you're out and about driving around, just use the hands-free. You can give us a buzz at 913-3810-810. That's 913-3810-810. Let's go to Craig on line two. Craig, you're on Sports Center. Or is it Craig?
Hey, Brad, you're my favorite
Eric,
guy.
I'm sorry, yeah. Eric. Eric, go ahead. I was reading a name on my notepad that said Craig, and I got it wrong. So go ahead, Eric. Sorry.
Hey, yeah. Well, talking about... loyalty with the Chiefs. It's kind of like Chad Boger when he promised we'd always take calls in the morning and the Border Patrol refuses to, and he basically Boger just forgot about
people. Oh, come
people
on.
That
it's
call in.
Personal,
I mean, he
it's a personal
he
preference.
He promised
thing.
Everybody he
All
would
right.
do that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It's a preference. You can take
you
calls
know what
I'm or
saying,
you don't
though?
Take calls. Okay. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. If you have a beef with somebody else, then that's your beef. It's not mine.
He was clearly just talking Chiefs with me on the phone, and that's
yes.
where I thought it was a worthy call. And
well, it happens.
No worries.
It happens. I mean, if you have a legitimate call, I'll take your call anytime. A lot of times on the weekends, we just have a lot of guests, and we chit-chat a lot. So anyway, that kind of threw me off course there for a second. Okay, so Dee Ford, interest from the Packers and Chiefs in working out a trade, which I think would make total sense. Justin Houston... you're not going to get a trade for him at that salary. It's going to have to be a cut. Same with Eric Berry, and the draft has good rushers available all the way down to late first round where the Chiefs are picking and on into the second round. So there's stuff there. The other – oh, go ahead. You had a thought, Chris?
No, yeah, and I think, you know, as we were saying, like, you got to clear the cap space right now to prepare yourself for not next year. Yeah, you're going
to
take some, you know, a cap hit this year.
The next
2 to 4 years when you're going to have to sign, you know, a Patrick Mahomes, right, who probably the richest contract in the history of the NFL.
Well,
so
unless they can work out the Tom Brady scenario where – and look, I'm firmly in the camp with – I'm not the only person who has said this. I firmly believe, not by fact, I don't have any proof, but I firmly believe the Patriots have a doggy bag of cash sitting in the bank in Switzerland or the Cayman Islands for Tom Brady when he retires. I'm totally conspiracy theory on that. Totally buying into that. Tom Brady makes $16 million a year. I mean, are you kidding me?
I mean, his wife also makes...
Oh, she
a lot
makes
of money.
Like
so.
$70 to $80 million a year. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'm on board with that. The other that popped last night is that with the Jaguars giving running back Carlos Hyde permission to start a free agency tour because they're going to cut him at some point, Carlos Hyde is visiting with the Chiefs today, reportedly. Multiple outlets have reported that. And I kind of said this last season, or at the end of last season, I thought Damian Williams was fantastic when he took over for Kareem Hunt. Run the ball, good pass catcher, good at the goal line. But my concern was that was in a small sample size. That wasn't a lot of games. And could Damian Williams sustain that over 16 games? So I thought it made perfect sense, total sense, for the Chiefs to pursue another running back, whether it's free agency, whether it's later in the draft. I think they go into the season with Damian Williams, Daryl Williams, and a couple other guys. I'm not sure either Charcandrick West or Spencer Ware are on this team in 2019. So Carlos Hyde, I think, makes sense. I was looking at his numbers. Carlos Hyde, 6 foot, 229 pounds. Damian Williams is about the same size. Damian Williams is about 224, 225. So, I mean, they're both big cats. And so if you're looking at it, and somebody tweeted this out earlier, I totally was on board. I had the same thought. If you're looking at this as Carlos Hyde comes in to be part of a thunder-lightning combination, no. They're both big backs. And Carlos Hyde has had seasons, two or three seasons ago, where he caught a ton of footballs out of the backfield. So I think Carlos Hyde would be a good fit. He's in for a visit, signed a 1-year deal.
I mean, I was, you know, pulling up his, you know, little Pro Football Reference page.
Yes. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? He had like almost 60 catches.
It was,
like
I think it was in 16, or no, it was 17 he had his most receiving yards, and he had 59 receptions.
Yeah.
The year before that, so he had 938 rushing yards in 17, and then 988 and 16. The thing that I'm worried about, though, with him is he's always nicked up. He's always injured.
Yep.
He has injury problems. But if you have Damian Williams as well and Daryl, then you have some depth there at running back. And you can still even go get someone in the draft and, you know, have a little competition in training camp. Yeah, exactly.
If you have to cut a guy, you cut a guy. So I think it'll be interesting to see if we get a resolution from the Chiefs today with Carlos Hyde in visiting. Let's go to line two. Let's go to Hoosier. Hoosier, you're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's up?
Hey, I'm all about drafting players, but – you know, rookies aren't always very effective. D Ford, how long will it take D Ford to get to where he
took him
produced
a while.
Like he did
took
this
him,
season?
Took him a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess at a running back and some of the specialty positions, you know, you can get production in the first, as a rookie, but it seems like on defense it takes a little longer, you know? And so I'm leery of saying we're going to rely on the draft to fill some of these holes on defense. That's
yeah, and also, you know, free agency is a route too. I mean,
Steve, I'm all about free agency. I'm all about getting the 32-year-old guy that can still play.
Steve Spagnuolo had the entire 2018 year off to just watch whatever guys he wanted to watch. And I'm sure he has a mental checklist and probably has a legal pad with 100 names on it of guys he wants to look at. But I think he's fully prepared to come in here and look at those guys and go to Brett Veach and say, these are the guys that fit my system. Yeah, and free agency is an option too.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Hoosier. Thanks for the call. 913-3810-810. Yeah, there's no rookie guarantee. I mean, Breland Speaks was up and down this season, more probably down than up.
I mean, granted, he is definitely not a stand-up outside linebacker in a 3-4. He played a 4-3, you know, down in the dirt, you know, defensive end in college. So his measurables don't really fit. Like, as a speed rusher, that's not his game. His game is more in the, you know, run stopping. And, yeah, he can get a pass rush sometimes, but it's not going to be, a you know, someone coming off the edge, standing up and, you know, getting leverage on an offensive lineman and getting to the quarterback. That's just not his game.
Right. And, you know, the defensive ends will start coming off the board here in the next few days. And I'm sure the Chiefs will kick the tires on a couple of DNs and bring them in for a visit and that sort of thing. I thought it was interesting. You brought up the salary cap and massaging it for the next 2 to 4 years. And I said this before, and I'm saying it again. We all think, I guess conventional wisdom is, oh, with Patrick Mahomes, we've got a 10 to 12 year window to win Super Bowls, as many as the Chiefs can. I don't know if I believe that. I don't think you can put that on one player unless you're like the Patriots and you just find guys every year to bring in and take over spots. But look, I think the window is more 3 to 4 years depending on how the Chiefs can massage the roster. Tyreek Hill at one point is not going to be the fastest guy in the National Football League anymore. He's just not. That's a fact. What's he got? 3 to 4 years left to be a top receiver in the NFL? Maybe five? Not everybody's Antonio Brown. I don't know. Travis Kelce, how long is he the top tight end in the National Football League? In my opinion, he's the top tight end. You can make the case for is it George Kittle out in San Francisco, who really put on a show this year. But Travis Kelce might have 3 years left at being that top shelf tight end. 3 to 4 years. He just had another surgery.
I mean, I think the thing with Tyreek is, he's still going to be very good in the next, you know, four years, even if his speed goes down just a little bit.
Right.
I mean, so his quickness is incredible. And if he continues to, you know, refine his route running that he has done since he has been in the league. I mean, everyone
much
at the beginning,
than he was.
Yeah. I mean,
so much better.
Yeah. Maybe he's in the next 3 years from now to then, like, his you know, 40 goes down, you know, 0.5, you know, 0.05 or whatever it may be. But if he, you know, shores up his game everywhere else, then that will, you know, create more longevity for him.
And I guess then I should clarify then. When I'm talking about a 3 to 4 to 5 year window, I'm talking about the current cast. So, yes, the Chiefs can continue to draft guys, sign guys to extend that window out to 10 years, 12 years with Patrick Mahomes. But this current cast, the window is probably 3 years, 4 years. You just, guys aren't going to be at that top level anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
I hope that's not the case, but I mean, history tells you.
I mean, that's just how it is for, you know, any football player. Like, the average, you know, margin is, you know, a 4 to 6 year career.
Got a phone. I heard the phone ring in the background. So, yeah, that's what I'm kind of looking at. I don't want to be the downer. So, I'm just talking about this current cast with Chiefs. Probably 3 to 4 years. And then the roster changes over. You flip over about 30 to 33% of your roster every year. Find out what you got. Draft new guys. Find out what you got. And so, I was going back to Chris, I was talking about Carlos Hyde, just a second, to kind of finish the thought on Carlos Hyde and adding to the current cast. So Carlos Hyde, in his four-year career, yes, he's been nicked up. He averages 4 yards a carry. It's a good number. Running back in the National Football League. Over 3,300 yards in 4 seasons. Good pass catcher. Former second-round pick of the 49ers. And then ended up with the Browns. Then got traded during the season last year because the Browns were trying to negotiate a new contract with him, and he wasn't interested or didn't like the numbers. So they traded him to the Jaguars in October. I think he's a good fit. But we'll see. The Chiefs might not be the only team interested, but he's here today. And I mentioned this when I was talking with Matt. The rule is, if you really want the guy, if you like what you see, if the physical comes back and everything's okay, and that's the guy you think fits best, you don't let him leave. Don't let him get on the plane, because then it's out of your hands. Have a deal ready today. You want it? Get it done today. Chiefs also have that regional combine going on, which is always interesting because you find those guys, all the time who don't get invited to the combine for whatever. They have a limited number of guys, and they're the top guys. And I'm sure the teams have some input. These are the guys we want to see. These are the guys we want to see. The combine, I don't know if there's a panel that gets together and decides, okay, these are the guys. I'm sure there is. So now you get the regional combine, and you come up with a guy like maybe an Antonio Brown. It's a sixth-round pick. Was he at the combine? Do you get a guy like a Tom Brady? Sixth-round pick. I'd find a guy like that. Now, I'm just throwing out two Hall of Famers. You can still find pretty useful guys. All right, we are coming up on a timeout here. Coming up in the next segment, Matt Galloway, CJOnline.com will join us. We'll talk Kansas and Baylor, which is coming up at 1 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the pregame show at 11:30. We'll also talk Big 12, K-State, and Texas Tech. Does one of them win an outright championship? Do they share a championship?
Shared.
You think shared?
I genuinely think shared.
They both win today.
Yeah, they both win.
Okay.
I mean, I just don't see...
Because they're definitely not both losing today.
Oklahoma, they've been too inconsistent throughout the season to go on the road. Maybe if K-State had to go on the road to Oklahoma, but since it's in senior night in Bramlage. Also, Texas Tech, even though they are going to Hilton, which is a tough place to play, but that hasn't really been the case this season, in my opinion. And this Iowa State team is just not what people thought it was, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago.
They're on fumes right now getting to the end of the season. All right, so quick timeout. Matt Galloway, CJOnline.com will join us. You are listening to Sports Saturday on an overcast Saturday in Kansas City and across the Midwest. The rain, I think, has stopped for now. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. About the most mainstream of your musical selections we've had. I'll take it. That's a good one.
It's still good.
And I'm going to totally blank on the artist. This is
MGMT.
Yes. They haven't had a lot since this, have they? At least
they
mainstream.
Yeah, nothing like this.
Right. Okay. You're listening to our Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. The rain is, I think, stopped for now, at least slowed down. If you're out and about or you're staying inside and where it's dry, I appreciate you joining us here. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. You can follow him at Chris_Bohlig. It's all about branding.
It's all about branding. Baby.
Josh Briscoe is the best at it. Josh is the best.
He's
he can brand.
Good.
I've been lax about doing that sometimes. Got to brand. Expand the brand.
Expand the brand. LeVar Ball.
Expand the brand, Brad. Our guest... joining us on the line right now is Matt Galloway from CJOnline.com. Matt, hopefully the rain has slowed down for the day and we get a nice afternoon for some college basketball for you in particular over in Lawrence.
Yeah, I think that's always good for any of the folks heading into Allen's Fieldhouse. I know a lot of the students have already left for an early spring break, but there will be a number of them that aren't allowed to take umbrellas into the field house, so I hope it lets up before one.
They're going to find out in a rude way if they don't know that rule, and they're going to have to leave them in a pile somewhere and hope that they can find it afterwards.
I found that out the hard way when I went to a game, the Chiefs game at Green Bay a couple years ago.
Oh.
I stopped at a CVS, got an umbrella, and then about 10 minutes later had to toss it, and I was pretty frustrated. But yeah, and the Chiefs didn't play their best game that game, so bad night all around.
I wonder why that is, because you can take an umbrella to a Royals game. I think the only rule is it cannot be a golf umbrella. It can't be one of those huge ones. You got to have a regular umbrella. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I had a regular one, so maybe it's just a different policy, but yeah, who knows.
All All right, we've got a good slate of college basketball today on this final day of the Big 12 regular season. Kansas, as we know from last weekend, will not be playing for a 15th consecutive championship. So, you know, you've been around Bill Self this week. You've been around the team and going to the press conferences and things. So what is the feeling? Do they still feel like they have something to play for, whether it's, you know, ensuring they get a good bid for the NCAA tournament, playing for Pride? What sort of things are they looking at in terms of motivation for today against Baylor?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. I mean, first, you know, we take it for granted that KU every year seems, or most years seems to finish with a perfect home slate. Last year's team that made a Final Four had three home losses. So this team, for everything that's happened, can, at the very least, if they win today, say that they finished with a perfect home slate, and that's something they can hang their hat on. And I think it's another motivating factor, maybe not for the players as much as it is for the coaching staff and maybe for everyone around the program, that, hey, if you win and you perform well in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament, there are two sites close by in Des Moines and Tulsa that are within driving distance that would certainly be easier for your fans to get to than, say, Hartford, Connecticut. So I think that's a motivating factor for maybe the coaching staff and the folks around the program. But yeah, you know, it's interesting about the streak because there are only two real contributors on its team, and Mitch Lightfoot and Marcus Garrett, who played a role in past Big 12 championship victories. And both of those guys come off the bench. You've got five starters that have never played a minute for KU before this year. So I'm wondering how much of that is, you know, Bill Self said he never really brought it up with the team until the loss to Oklahoma, but I wonder how much of it that is them hearing it from, you know, past players or from the media or just wherever, or other students or fans, or and just being like, you know, that had nothing to do with them, and to think maybe just play a little bit angry just given the fact that, you know, you have people saying, hey, you guys let the past players down or things like that. You know, Bill Self went out of his way to say that's not what anybody should be saying, but I wonder if we'll see a little bit more of a chippy KU team. And, you know, they are playing at home where they've been just night and day better. So I'm going to wonder if that's going to help out a little bit. I don't think you'll see a demoralized KU team today, though. That's one thing I think I'll say for sure.
We're speaking with Matt Galloway, who writes for CJOnline.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at TheMattGalloway. You know, in terms of motivation, this kind of popped into my head while you were talking about it. You talk about past players, and maybe the current team had been hearing it from past players. And I go back to, I believe it was before the Texas game, when KU was really kind of in need of a good performance. And I believe it was Devontae Graham who sent a video, and they got to watch it in the locker room, and then they talked about it afterwards, how that was a big motivating factor. So, yeah, you know, they look up in the stands every game, and the guys are back. And we've seen, you know, Josh Jackson and on and on and on, and all the former players coming back. And, yeah, they've probably been hearing about it. But also, for the five starters who haven't been here before, probably not used to it. And it takes – there wasn't a senior leader on this team like you've had in the past. There was no Frank Mason. There was no Devontae Graham. LeGerald Vick was not going to be that guy, and then he ended up walking away from the team. So there wasn't really the guys to show him the ropes and how to perform at the highest level.
Yeah, and I think the most disappointing thing is LeGerald Vick was never really that guy, and maybe just given his history, and, you know, not even talking about anything other than the fact that he's just a quiet guy, and that's not really his MO to kind of be a vocal leader. I think that, you know, maybe that shouldn't have been, and it's not something anybody expected going into this year. I look back at last year, and I believe it was the Oklahoma State game at home that KU lost. That was the, I think, 100-year, maybe 100-and-something-year anniversary of it was some kind of major landmark for the program, and they laid an egg, and they had all these
right.
former players back. And that night was a banquet with former players, and Bill just kind of roasted the team in front of everybody. And I think that was a big turning point for the season because they played well the rest of the way. And I just don't know. The one thing I'll say about this team is I don't know what motivates them. I think I know that they want to win. I think that Devon Dotson, more than a lot of players that I've seen over the past, just lives and dies with wins and losses, and he cares so much, and you can say that about a lot of guys on the team. But other than that, I'm not sure what buttons exactly need to be pushed with this team. It's a young team. You know, you've got guys like Ochai Agbaji who are, you know, trying to lead. You see them on the court, you know, pulling guys in for huddles and things like that. But I mean, as Bill Self said, it's a kid that was lightly recruited, has played, 16 games at this point and was redshirting a couple months ago. So it's just kind of an awkward situation right now in that respect. As far as the three-point shooting goes, you know, they have shot better from three-point range, or I guess more often. They've had less hesitancy. You've seen that with guys like Ochai Agbaji and Quentin Grimes, but still needs to be, you know, noted that other than LeGerald Vick, who was shooting 45.5% from three, no other KU player is shooting better than 38%, and that's Devon Dotson, who is really a low-volume guy. So this is a KU team that really is struggling to find a way to score, especially whenever opposing teams just kind of sell out on doubling Dedrick Lawson and trying to really make guys like David McCormick, you know, beat them inside. And while he had a good game against Oklahoma, they came far, far away from even, you know, putting any kind of game pressure on Oklahoma in the second half.
We're speaking with Matt Galloway, covers the Kansas Jayhawks for CJOnline.com. Final thing on LeGerald Vick, and then I want to go back to those young guys. But, you know, I don't know the reason for his departure from the team. He hasn't talked about it. His mom, who used to be very vocal during the course of past seasons, hasn't said anything about it. So we don't know if this is a personal thing. We don't know if there's a health issue within the family. We just know that the mom said they needed him back, and he went back. So we don't know what's going on. But, you know, despite what you think of LeGerald Vick, I thought it would have been at least nice if he were able to find a way to come back today for Senior Day. Look, he's not the most popular guy in the world. I get it. But he's been the guy that's put in a lot of time. He's had some big performances in a KU uniform. He's had some poor performances, like everybody else. But I just thought, well, you know, could he at least come back for one day? And that's not going to happen. And maybe there's something back in his hometown that he can't get away. But I thought it would have been at least nice for him to come back and let the crowd cheer him for him one last time. He's supposed to graduate next week, I guess, but it's not going to happen, and none of us know why.
Yeah, and I think that's the reaction he would have gotten. I think he would have been cheered, and I think Bill Self said, you know, that's how LeGerald Vick deserves to be remembered. He deserves to be remembered fondly. I mean, he's just so wild. He was so wildly inconsistent here.
Yep.
Just look at this season. You know, he started out with a two-point game against Michigan State, then scored 32 against Vermont, 33 against Louisiana. You look at the Stanford game, that, you know, they wouldn't have a perfect home slate if he didn't hit that, you know, miracle double-guarded three-point shot at the buzzer to send the game to overtime, where they won 90-84. So, you know, he had definitely his highs, and I think that, you know, those are the ones that I think over time KU fans will maybe remember more than the ones that have happened all too often in conference play, like his kind of poor judgment on where to shoot from at the end of the West Virginia game, things like that. I mean, I think any KU fan looks at that and says, okay, that West Virginia game is probably where the season's, I mean, more than any other, is kind of where the tone was set for the Big 12, and where, you know, they kind of lost the streak, I would say. I mean, that one and the Oklahoma loss, which was never competitive, I think, to me, are the biggest reasons why. And LeGerald in the loss at Iowa State had 7 turnovers. Again, the game against K-State, he was barely used in the first half after kind of getting into an argument with a freshman about who kind of messed up an early defensive assignment. So I think, you know, he's definitely a fascinating player. He has tremendous offensive ability, and who knows what the future holds for him. But, you know, outside of maybe a video or something, or some kind of video acknowledgement of him, I don't think we'll get anything this afternoon. But, yeah, I mean, I think over time, KU fans will probably remember him as kind of a dynamic scorer that had the potential to really just kind of blow the doors off of a game offensively. But I think it's kind of, you know, unfortunate that he couldn't keep up even close to the pace that he had at the beginning of the year.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Matt Galloway, who covers Kansas basketball and football for CJOnline.com. Going back to the young guys now, we were debating yesterday and also earlier today in the show what KU's motivation would be for the Big 12 tournament next week here in Kansas City. And the general consensus, or however you want to term it, conventional wisdom is that KU isn't always 100% up for the Big 12 tournament because they're getting ready to be a 1 seed, a 2 seed, or a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. But I was thinking about it this way, going into next week, with the young guys. Devon Dotson, I think, has been terrific this season. Quentin Grimes was, you know, did not live up to expectations for the first three quarters of the season, but he's come on the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. David McCormick has been slow to grow in, but Ochagbaji, who just started playing here in early January, has been terrific, but he's had ups and downs as well. I think it would be good for them in terms of motivation to think about it as, okay, we didn't win the Big 12 regular season, but we can still get a trophy here. We can still do something special that people will remember us for, and we can use it as a springboard for that first NCAA tournament game. That's the way I look at it in terms of what you'd think about if you're a KU player or a coach.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the fact that they're going in and it's just going to be a different feeling for KU. I mean, Bill Self said that in the past, all he's had to say is, all right, you won the Big 12. Let's go validate that and show everybody why, you know, we were the best team in the conference. And now it's a different – they'll have to think of a different speech, a different thing to tell them. And I think it's just kind of the fact that, hey, look at it. We've had a lot of adversity, and, you know, they've lost you know, LeGerald Vick, they lost Udoka Azubuike, and they lost Silvio De Sousa. He hasn't even played this year. And those are the biggest reasons why this team that was the preseason number one is now, you know, probably going to be near closer to 20 whenever next week starts, depending on what happens today. But just kind of say, hey, let's finish the season out strong and get some momentum building. I think the most encouraging thing for KU fans, and this is just weird to say, it's a different feeling for KU fans. The worst thing in recent years about the postseason is that the NCAA tournament, as exciting as it is probably the worst way to determine the best team in a season. There's so many teams, so many fluky things can happen, and so many teams like, you know, South Carolina a few years ago can just backdoor their way into the Final Four. That fact this year should excite KU fans. That should motivate KU fans. Because I don't think any KU fan would say that this team is the best in the country. Bill Self has even said that this team has a limited ceiling. But, hey, you stretch together a couple good weekends, and you're right on the doorstep. So I think that should be, as odd as it is to say, something that has, you know, been such a source of pain for KU fans over the years, especially, you know, in the opening few rounds against Bill Self a few years ago. And don't make any mistake. I mean, KU's still going to be a 3 or 4 seed, maybe a 5th seed at worst. But the fact that KU is not, you know, far and away, you know, a contender for like one of the top 5 or 6 teams in college basketball entering the postseason, I think that should be a motivating factor for the players too. And just the fact that anything can happen in March, and I think that's a good thing.
I agree with you on both points. One, that it's not the best way to decide a champion. You got to win 6 straight games, which is very hard to do. And that you're talking about teams that kind of jump out of nowhere. I look no further than across the other state line to Loyola of Chicago. They had a couple of Kansas City kids on their team, and there were no 4 stars. There were no 5 stars. There were probably no 3 stars. They were a bunch of 1 and 2 stars or no stars. And yeah, they found their way to a Final Four.
Or even K-State last year without Dean Wade making the Elite Eight.
And beating Kentucky.
Anything can happen in front of you in the bracket.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you just handle your business, and I think KU will be the favorite for both of their games in the first weekend, I think you're good. And I think that it's something that any KU fan that's resigned to this season having a bad outcome, I mean, maybe it won't in a national championship, but I think that you should just remember the nature of the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Matt Galloway, who covers KU for CJOnline.com. Looking over at Baylor, the opponent today. Look, Matt, I've watched Baylor enough this year. I cannot tell you what to expect. I have no clue. And I was looking back to, you know, they got blown out at Texas Tech back in, early February, late January?
Mid-February, yeah.
Just destroyed. But every game they've played since then has been very close. They beat Iowa State by 4 up at Hilton. They beat West Virginia by 7 at home. They beat Texas by 1 at home. They lost to K-State by 6 in Manhattan. They lost to Oklahoma State in their last game by 3. So I don't know what to think. I think Baylor's been a good story. They don't have a lot of guys that you would think of as star players, but I don't know. I don't know. And the way Kansas has played, I have no idea either. If I were a betting man, I would not bet on this game.
I think the only thing that I would bet on is I do think it will be close. I think that this will be a tight game. I you know, Baylor going into this week was the top offensive rebounding team in the country. I think that in terms of offensive rebounding percentage, I think even, and that's even without Tristan Clark, I think that will be a huge key for them in this game, just to stay afloat. And, you know, there's been the statistic over the years about Scott Drew, you know, having more big, losses at Allen Fieldhouse than Bill Self.
Right.
I haven't looked that up. Not sure if that's still true, but they, as Bill Self has said, they've been challenging KU in recent years at Allen Fieldhouse, and they've been a lot more competitive there. So I have no reason to believe that also won't be the case. But, you know, this is a Baylor team that, you know, has lost a number of guys throughout the year, and they're just now getting a little healthy, but they don't have Clark, who was their leading scorer. I think he still is. They've got some good weapons. Mekhi Mason, when he's on, is really on, and he's dangerous. And I think that, you know, they pose a threat, but, you know, this game definitely doesn't carry the weight that it would have had KU taken care of business against Oklahoma. And, you know, I think they're going to maybe play with a little bit more of a free mind. Maybe the pressure being off will be good for this KU team, and we'll see. I mean, there's no way of knowing. Like I said, I have struggled this year to identify what exactly are the right buttons to push with this group of guys. I think you have a lot of different guys that are motivated by different things, but as far as Baylor goes, I think it'll be a good matchup. And, you know, when I look and I think about who the Big 12 Coach of the Year should be, up until a couple weeks ago, I might have really thought about Scott Drew. I just think it's hard to deny Chris Beard, a guy who, you know, had a team that I believe was picked preseason seventh and just has been really one of the top teams in the country and a real Final Four contender.
Absolutely, 100%. And I just looked it up, by the way, when I said I wouldn't touch this game if I were a betting man. I think the line was 7.5 a day or two ago, and now it's 8, KU minus 8. I wouldn't go anywhere near that.
I wouldn't touch it either.
Final thing for you, and this has nothing to do with the game today, KU and Baylor at 1 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I was going through some of your notes, and I remembered this from earlier in the week. We were talking about the loss of Udoka Azubuike and how that changed things, and then they activated Ochai Agbaji, completely different position player from Udoka. But Bill Self was asked about Udoka this week, and he said he's getting healthy, he's going to be in a better spot next year, but he doesn't think they're going to see the results of that rehab in Lawrence, that he's going to be gone to the NBA, which I would 100% expect that.
Yeah, no, when he said that, that's one of those things that you listen back to the audio a little later because you're tweeting and you're transcribing and you're doing other things as it's happening, and then you listen back to the audio and you think, did he just say that?
Yes.
Because that's kind of a huge, huge newsworthy moment that
yes.
He just kind of casually dropped that, hey, he doesn't really expect Udoka Azubuike to be back next year. And I would think that's the case, too. I mean, he's not getting any younger, and, you know, some of the things that he struggled with last year kind of only struggled at even more. I do think he has a better free throw form. I just don't think he really saw that pay off. And you look at when, you know, last year he was surrounded by four, I would say at least a couple of elite three-point shooters and, four, you know, above average to very good three-point shooters. Allowed him to really feast inside. I don't think he'll ever have a better field goal percentage than he had last year. You know, he's got, you know, maybe have to deal with a stigma about being injury prone now, although I don't know if the sample size is even big enough to say that, although he did suffer two injuries this year. I'm not sure. I think it's probably time for him to get the professional wheels moving and in motion. It wouldn't stun me if he came back. I mean, he's ending on a pretty low note, and maybe that's something that, you know, would hurt his stock. But, you know, just the way the NBA is played now, I'm not sure that anything that he could really do would convince people that he should be drafted. I think he's going to be the type of guy that just has to go and play above his head and kind of carve out a role and show that there's still a role for a really back to the basket kind of 7-foot load inside. And to me, for his professional aspirations to have any sort of real hope, he's got to rebound better. He's got to shoot free throws better, because you're not going to put a guy on the court, especially in a late game situation, that is such a liability from the free throw line, unless he's playing a player the caliber of like a DeAndre Jordan.
Absolutely. All right, final thing for you, and I'll let you go, Matt. Your pick by the end of business today, for the Big 12 championship, will it be K-State outright? Will it be Texas Tech outright? Or will it be a shared championship?
Man, I really like the way that Oklahoma's played down the stretch. But I just don't see a way that they beat K-State in Manhattan. And as far as the other game goes, I mean, Iowa State is completely unraveling.
Yes.
I have to tell you, the you know, kind of old school practice Steve Prohm did on Monday might be an all-time backfire move. you have chippiness, and then you have a mysterious door incident where your leading scorer injures his foot. I mean, you have players arguing against each other in a massive loss, like just a lopsided loss at West Virginia. So I think Tech is going to roll big time, and I expect both of them to win and share the Big 12.
All right, fantastic stuff. Matt Galloway, cjonline.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at the Matt Galloway. Matt, have fun today, and remember to leave your umbrella in the car when you go to Allen Fieldhouse.
I will have a hoodie on over my, my stuff.
All right, thank you very much, Matt. Enjoy your weekend.
Okay, thanks.
All right, that is Matt Galloway, cjonline.com. And a reminder, if you're going to Allen Fieldhouse, no umbrellas. I don't know if they just throw them in a big pile and you try to find it afterwards, but no umbrellas. Don't bring them in.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never brought an umbrella to a sporting event, I don't think.
No, you can do it in baseball games, but nowhere else. On that note, we will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up this hour, and then we will take you up until 11:30 when we hand off the baton to the KU Network pregame show, and then KU and Baylor at 1 o'clock. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Just a minute or so left here in hour number two, and then we're going to take you up until 11:30, where we hand it off to the KU Network pregame show, and then Kansas at Baylor at 1 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So we just wrapped up with Matt Galloway, and just kind of talking about some strange things for the season and wondering what they're going to do for LeGerald Vick today, since he's not going to be there for senior day.
It's going to be weird.
It's strange. You got TCU in Texas coming up, right? Since you're a TCU guy.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a big game.
It's coming up. I think about TCU's had a weird season, too.
Don't even want to go into it.
Yeah. Texas. I don't know how long Shaka Smart's in for that job, especially what Rick Barnes is doing at Tennessee. That's got to be.
Got to be a punch
in
the gut to all the UT fans that wanted Rick Barnes out.
Yep, absolutely. You don't always look what they've done with their football coaches in the past 8 years. Just fire one after another. All right, on that note, we will take a timeout and fire off a commercial break. Back for the final 30 minutes. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter, Chris Bohlig running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.